All right, it is time for Fast Track, and it is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around, not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Momo, you there?
I'm here. I think okay. My Wi-Fi went out, but I'm just going to go on my cell service. So
okay,
right.
Do it. Let's see how far
maybe.
We get.
We'll see.
Let's do the coin flip. One side of the coin. The opposite of love is hate, and the other side of the coin, the opposite of love is indifference. Call it in the air. Jorge?
She didn't call it, but...
She called it.
It landed on heads, Mace. Go ahead.
It landed on heads. Okay. Momo, you're not playing by the rules here. You're supposed to call it. All right, I'll go first.
I thought I called it. I said it's indifference. Maybe I dropped there.
Yeah, you dropped it. All right, here we go. Friends just had its reunion show on HBO. Joey Chandler, Ross, Monica, Phoebe, Rachel, all of them. Now, Bill Maher made an interesting point on Real Time Friday night. He says there is no way they could make Friends today because all six lead characters are white, that the show would never get picked up. Do you agree?
I think I do. I think he's right. I mean, that is a consideration that we didn't have back in the day, and now we do. I think it's kind of it was just not a consciousness that anybody had, and there's so many things we look back on, you know, now that you go, oh, yeah, that would never fly today. So, yeah, I think he's right.
Yeah, I do, too. I don't think you would have a show. And by the way, there were very few people of color that ever appeared on Friends. Very few. So, yes, it was the least diverse view of New York City I have ever seen. I don't think the show would get picked up today.
Yeah.
All right, it's to you.
Fast Track.
In an interview with Variety, Queen's Gambit – can you hear me okay? Wi-Fi is not so great. In an interview with Variety, Queen's Gambit actress Anna Taylor-Joy said, "I've never given so much of myself to a character before. I usually think about a character as so different from me. I make it a real point to make them walk differently, to have a different caliber of voice, to laugh differently, to cry differently. I want them to be their own person. But for Beth," that's the character she played in Queen's Gambit, "it was the first time that I just thought the only way to tell this accurately is to give bits of myself up." Mm. Mace, you've done some acting. What's your method?
Well, that's a good question. Well, my rule number one, I think for any actor, is know your lines inside out. A lot of people will roam onto a set and they'll think, oh, I only have to do a little bit there, a little bit there. No, know your lines inside out. Know it inside out. That's one thing I've always done when I've been called upon. The other thing is I think you've got to be completely in the moment and engaged with the actor that you're working with. You can't just be reciting lines. You've got to internalize those and be able to be with that other actor or those other actors in the scene. So I would say those are the two things. Have you ever done any acting?
Yeah, I'm not good. I've tried. I took an acting class once when I tried to do it. And the best way I was at acting was when I totally got out of myself. I had to somehow leave myself in another place. It's like, it's not Ramona playing this character. I have to become that character, because when it's me in that role, when I feel myself still, I'm not able to do the lines. I'm always self-conscious. I can't really do what needs to be done. So I have to, my method is more like, I got to just get out of myself and get over all my self-consciousness.
Yeah. I think that's critical. You definitely do need to get out of yourself too. All right. It's to me.
Fast Track.
Bleacher Report is beginning to cover some non-traditional sports in an effort to engage Gen Z with younger Americans not following traditional team sports as much. They're throwing stuff against the wall. Their idea, Celebrity Dodgeball. Now, this would not be pay-per-view. It would happen on a Bleacher Report YouTube channel. Are you in on B-level celebrities playing dodgeball?
You know, pre-kid, I might have been. Now I feel like I'm already behind on all my shows. Like, I have so many other things that I want to catch. I haven't even watched Mayor of Easttown. I haven't watched the new season of Handmaid's Tale because I get, like, just a little bit of time for me to watch shows. But before I had kids, yeah, I would have been all over that.
Yeah, I mean, I love dodgeball. And I love the movie, by the way. If you've never seen the movie, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. the great Rip Torn delivered that line. It's a hilarious movie. And what sucks is it's never gone anywhere as a sport, but it's one that I was really good at in the day. Like when I was a kid, I was an excellent dodgeball player. I'm kind of rooting for the
sport.
Were
you a good thrower or a good dodger?
I was a good dodger. I was a very good blocker of shots.
Ah.
I would block the shots, and I would often win in dodgeball. It was one of my best sports. So it's disappointing that it's not really a sport. Hmm. And I probably will take a look. Let's face it. We'll take a look at most B-level celebrities do anything these days. I mean, they're boxing, they're playing dodgeball, they're dancing with the stars, they're yelling each other on Housewives. B-level celebrities are everywhere. And I think we tend to watch them do whatever. So, yeah, I think celebrity dodgeball absolutely has a chance. All right, it's to you.
Fast Track.
We're operating with a massive delay.
Say that fast. The beauty of... Oh, fuck.
Okay, we're losing Momo.
Uh-oh.
So,
uh-oh.
So put Momo on hold, and we'll try to work that out. In the meantime, I'll do Fast Track with you guys.
Okay.
So a video shared to TikTok by somebody named @DefineBrit shows a mouse eating veal shank in the deli case in Whole Foods in Columbus Circle in Manhattan. The woman, identified as Brittany Ellis, said she and her mother were grocery shopping when they took a break near the deli section to answer a phone call. Next thing, she says, next thing I know, a lady behind us is like, oh, that's disgusting. So then it's when we look closer, I just see a nice tiny little mouse chewing away like nothing. I'm shocked. That video was shared on TikTok. It gained 2.5 million views. Now, if at your favorite grocery store, wherever it is you do most of your shopping, if you had seen that mouse, would you ever shop at that store again?
I wouldn't. No way. That's disgusting. There was a similar story where there was a mouse. It was in New York. I think they're having some kind of mouse problem there. Yeah. I mean, they always do, mice, rats, where the mouse was like chewing on prosciutto that was in a Whole Foods case. Okay. I would never go there again. Absolutely not, because it's disgusting. How do you not notice something like that?
Like, Jorge, are you done with that Whole Foods?
Maybe for a couple of months, and then hopefully they take care of the problem and just go back just for the convenience. I don't want to go 3 miles, 4 miles off of my route. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because we all have a store, right? We
exactly.
all have a store where we do most of our grocery shopping. And if I saw a mouse, I think I would chalk it up to it's a mistake. It's an accident. I've never seen it before. I'm going to go ahead and continue shopping there. That's how I would do it. If I saw a second mouse, I'd be gone. But one mouse, I'm okay.
Yeah, the 3-strike rule, you know? First strike,
three,
okay, cool.
3 mice and you're
strike,
out.
Okay, yeah, 3 mice and you're out, exactly.
three mice and you're out. All right, let's see. We'll try to reconnect with Momo here in the meantime. Post Malone just had a bunch of dental work. He has put $1.6 million in diamonds into his teeth. It's two teeth in particular. Each one has its own set of diamonds. Do you understand the idea of a diamond-covered tooth, and would you be nervous walking around with them installed into your mouth? Jorge.
Nah, that's just not my thing. I wouldn't get stuff like that installed in my mouth in the first place. But no, I'll pass on that.
You'll pass on that. Lindsay.
Well, considering they're worth $1.5 million... I guess I would feel safe because the only way that like what's somebody going to do? Rob you and like pull your teeth out? Like, are they going to walk around with like some, what are they called? Like a, you know, the pliers?
A pair of pliers.
You know?
Somebody's going to attack you with a pair of pliers. That's
and
awesome.
And pull your diamonds out of your teeth? Probably not. So I feel like I would be safe. I personally, like, I don't think I would do the big giant diamonds like Post Malone had in his because I saw the picture. But I have seen a lot of girls, like one of the girls I know has like this tiny little diamond in one of her front teeth, and I think it's super cute. I would seriously think about doing that because I think it's cute, but I mean, I wouldn't spend a bunch of money on it.
Yeah, $1.6 million in diamonds in my teeth. There's no way. I'd be afraid of somebody with pliers. I would be afraid that people know that I've got $1.6 million in diamonds in my mouth. That's scary to me. I could never, ever
Post Malone is his own bodyguards. He's fine.
Oh, yeah, no, Post Malone will be fine. Absolutely. All right, I'll do another.
Hey, Mace, I think I'm back. Do you guys hear me?
Are you
officially
back? Yeah.
I'm back.
Okay, cool.
I think so. I don't know. Know what I think it is? I think it's 106 in the Valley. Well, I'll do the one I asked. So the Beauty and the Beast prequel has officially been ordered to Disney Plus.
Really? Mace,
what franchise series would you like to see more prequels of? Because we're already done with the sequels, so now we're getting into prequels.
We're getting into prequels. What prequel would I like to see? I love a good origins story. Like, for example, I loved Batman Begins, which was the start of Batman, Christopher Nolan's Batman, on to Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
And I think the prequel I would like to see, it's got to be somebody with a really rich, you know, could there be a prequel to Casino?
Ooh.
Young De Niro, young Pesci, young Sharon Stone.
I like that.
Or a prequel to The Godfather. Could you make a prequel to The Godfather? It would be young.
Yeah, you totally could.
Well, except Godfather 2 kind of covers that from Vito being a little boy, ultimately stabbing the guy who killed his father. So I think that's already there. I would say Casino is an interesting idea. I'd have to put a little bit more thought into it. Maybe somebody's got an idea, a movie that deserves a prequel. 877-710-ESPN. It's a good question. What about you?
You know what? I think I kind of like the sports movies, right? Like we've had so many, we haven't really done prequels in any of the sports movies, right? So we had like, you know, we did Major League and Major League 1, 2, 3, right? They just keep getting older and stuff. What if we went back and did like prequels to those sports movies, right? Friday Night Lights. What if you did a prequel? Like I want to see Coach Taylor when he was growing up.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a young Kyle
like
Chandler
his
as
backstory.
Coach, as a player.
Yeah.
You know, they're making.
You have to pick a franchise you just like.
They're making a prequel of my favorite movie ever, which is Willy Wonka with Gene Wilder.
Ooh,
obviously, a bummer
I like
that he can't be in it, but they're making a prequel of like how he became Willy Wonka. So I'm super excited to see that.
Yeah, that one stars that Timothy Chalamet kid.
What's he from?
That's good casting. Good casting.
He's from like arty movies, like Call Me by Your Name was one of his movies. He's like Oscar-y. He does a lot of Oscar kind of
Oscar-y.
Movies. Oscar-y, right. Oscar-y. Awards okay. kinds of movies. All right, Momo, why don't you hit us with one more?
Sure. All right, so Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is having a breakout season, and in a poll conducted of unbelievable. Is he the favorite to win the American League MVP?
Yes, hands down, he is the favorite to win the American League MVP. I think he's going to win the American League MVP. There's no doubt in my mind right now. I guess Shohei Ohtani.
You like him over Ohtani. Yeah.
I like him over Ohtani. But I'll tell you what's going to be fun. Ohtani at the All-Star game at Coors Field is going to be fun because he's going to make the team. And
ooh,
Joe Maddon has said it's totally okay with him if he pitches and hits in the All-Star game, which would be really, really cool. The other guys, Ohtani, I think, is a contender. I think Xander Bogaerts from the Red Sox. J.D. Martinez is a possibility. Not really Mike Trout. It's not a big Mike Trout year, but Vlad Guerrero Jr., I think, is the odds-on favorite, and I think he's going to win. By the way, National League Most Valuable Player is an interesting race. There's a lot of heat behind Jake DeGrom. Now, we'll see what happens when they ban all these sticky substances. I'm kind of curious to see what happens to DeGrom. But Fernando Tatis Jr. is right there. Ronald Acuna is right there, and Nick Castellanos is right there, all having really good years. No Dodgers in the mix. No Dodgers in the mix for MVP this year. Maybe for Cy Young, but not for MVP.
I would have said Justin Turner, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. Well, for Cy Young, would you say Urias or?
For Cy Young, I mean, we've got multiple
Bowers?
Guys. Bueller is now 6-0 or 7-0. Urias has been really, really good. I mean, I think we've got maybe three of the top five the way we're rolling. Trevor Bauer has fallen off because his spin rate went down. For some reason, his spin rate went down. I don't know if there's a connection to the banning of sticky substances or not, but his spin rate's down and
it's getting hotter. You know, getting hotter out.
That might be it. That might be it. All right, coming up next for you, let me ask you, Momo, are we on delay? Clearly we are.
I was going to say, I think the answer to that is yes.
I was just letting it breathe for a second. Clearly.
We'll ever reconnect.
Clearly we are on delay. We will get that fixed, and we will get Momo back here. Coming up next for you, let's do this. The pandemic has been very bad for sex. I will explain what I mean. Coming up next. Hey, who needs a new TV? Right here, right now, we're giving you a chance to get the brand new 85-inch Sony 4K Ultra HD HDR smart TV at a special Mason and Ireland friends and family price that can only be for Mirror Audio Video in Westwood. If you've been thinking about upgrading your TV, today is your lucky day. This 85-inch Sony has got the latest 4K HDR processor, X1, that delivers rich colors and detailed contrast, just perfect for any sports fan. Here is the deal. We've got three of these, three only, at the lowest price ever. So get your phone, get your credit card ready. 85-inch Sony HDR 4K smart TV with the X1 processor, lowest price in the world, $3,000. $3,000, not today. First three to call Mirror and buy right now, your price, $2,499. $2,499, and it is yours. Plus, Isaac will deliver right to your door for free. Call right now, first three only, 310-234-4010. That's 310-234-4010. 310-234-4010. Good luck from Mirror Audio Video in Westwood, Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey!
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, we may or may not have Ramona back on the show today. We don't know where some Wi-Fi issues and all that stuff. It still is incredible that we're able to do this from four different places, that Lindsay can be at her house, I can be at mine, Jorge can be in the studio, and Ramona can be at her. It sounds like we got a little bit of a snafu at Ramona's house today, so we'll roll on. We will roll on. So, I'm curious from Laker fans. Last night, I hate watched the Clippers, and they did beat the Utah Jazz, tying that series at 2. And Ramona forwarded an interesting theory, and Lindsay agreed with it.
Yeah.
That the opposite of hate, the opposite of love isn't hate. Yep. The opposite of love is indifference. Now, I would challenge that as a fact.
Hear me, by the way.
Okay, good. I would challenge that as a fact. I do not believe that's true. I believe hate is the opposite of love. And she's gone again. We'll just keep her jets cool till we get it figured out. I think the opposite of love is hate. And not indifference. That's why I'm hate-watching the Clippers. That's why I'm rooting against the Clippers. I'm rooting against them every single play, every single game, every single series, because that's my thing. I am a Clippers hater, and I think a lot of people are with me. Now, there are other people who think, I just don't care. I don't care. They're just the Clippers. I don't care, Momo suggested earlier. If they get one, they still need another 16 to tie us. I don't want to live in a world where the Clippers get one. And they, you know, 2-2 in that series with Utah, who knows? They could pull that out even after being down 0-2. So if you are a Lakers fan, how do you feel about the Clippers continuing to play in the postseason? Are you watching the games, and are you hate watching the games? 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. You can also tweet the show at Venice Mace or at Ramona Shelburne. I think she's out there on Twitter somewhere. And you can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. For me, it's hate. And The other thing I hate an awful lot, and I'll throw this out there too, I hate the way James Harden and Trae Young, and to some degree Luka Doncic, play the game. That they take shots at weird sideways, falling away, twisting angles in order to be able to draw a foul, a three-point foul. It happens all the time. Watch Harden. Watch Trae Young. This is really their game, particularly those two guys. Now, the NBA Rules and Competition Committee has assembled, and they are going to make a decision about whether or not to outlaw those kinds of shots or those kinds of calls that really aren't warranted. I think basketball is a beautiful game when it goes up and down and up and down. Beautiful game. But when you've got guys that are really out there not to score, not to shoot from three-point range, but to draw a foul from three-point range, for me, it screws up the game. It destroys the flow of the game to stop and have a guy shoot three free throws. So I hope, in fact, that this rule, this examination by the Rules Committee, takes effect and we stop seeing situations like we have with James Harden, like we stop having situations like with Trae Young, that we get rid of that aspect of the game because it's really abusing a rule. And it's a lot like what's going on in Major League Baseball with gooping up the baseball. We've talked a lot about that. In fact, I want to pat myself on the back here. I started this weeks ago saying that we need to crack down on pitchers and their use of illegal substances because the pitchers right now have got too big of an advantage over hitters because of the increased spin they're able to get because of spider tack and these other crazy glue sort of situations that they're using. So, I think baseball is doing the right thing when they announced today that starting on Monday, they will check every starting pitcher twice for illegal substances. They will test every reliever once for illegal substances. And ideally, this is going to eliminate that crazy spin rate that guys get from having that extra goop, that extra something on the ball, that tacky illegal substance. So I think all these things are interrelated in that we're improving the quality of these games. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Especially when I hear from Lakers fans and how you're watching these Clippers games, if you're watching and how you're watching. Lindsay, now, are you would consider yourself a Lakers fan, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a LeBron fan.
Right, so you are a huge LeBron fan.
And I want the Lakers to win because obviously it's good for the city that I live in. It's good for a radio show. So, you know, I want them to win.
Jorge, you're obviously a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
So the question is, if you're a Lakers fan, how do you feel about the Clippers? I hate them. Some people think they're getting the best of me because it's better to be just indifferent to the whole thing. Indifferent to it. I'm curious.
Well, yeah,
about...
I mean, if you're watching it, that's like the whole thing. Your argument about hate and indifference. If you're watching it, you're putting energy into something. You're feeding your energy and emotions into something that you don't consider worthy of your love. So just ignoring and not watching at all is the move to me.
I love the Utah Jazz. I stand with the Jazz, okay. Linz.
All right. Well, if you love the Utah Jazz, then I hope they win it all for your sake.
Yes. Yes. It's my adopted team until the Clippers face somebody else, and that will be my adopted team again. I it doesn't take up a lot of my time, but I do think that hate is the right way to watch the Clippers. Now, Robert Horry was on the big podcast with Shaq. Jorge, do you have this thing? Oh, he's on calls. Okay. So Robert Horry was asked if he's rooting for the Clippers now that the Lakers are out. And of course he said no. Of course he said absolutely not. I don't think any real Laker fan roots for the Clippers. You're just not a Lakers fan if that's what you're doing. Let's go to Esteban. Hey, Esteban. You're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Thanks. How you doing?
Everything's great.
First of all, I just want to say that I 100% agree with you. The opposite of love is hate, not indifference.
Yes.
Second of all, I want to say that, look, last week you guys were taking calls on this, and you had a caller mention that as a California resident, you had to root for California teams. Yeah. I couldn't disagree more. I would never root for the Giants as a diehard Dodger fan, as a diehard Laker fan. You absolutely cannot ever root for the Clippers. We hate the Clippers. We hope they lose. Can't watch them.
So, Esteban, you're not even watching the games, right?
I am absolutely not watching the games.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, so there's a guy who's not even watching the games. That's indifference. That's not hate. Indifference is not watching. I'm watching, so I'm hating. 877-710-ESPN. We've also got Radio Tinder coming up for you at 2:45. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Rob Allspa tweets, the Clippers are in the playoffs. Who cares about A, the playoffs, since the Lakers are done, and B, the Clippers? They can win the whole thing as far as I care. No, that's not the right attitude. Not the right attitude. Let's go to Greg in West Hills. Greg, you're on 710 ESPN. What are you doing, man?
Hey, what's happening?
Everything's good.
Well, let me tell you, you know, I hate the Clippers, but I kind of hated them more when CP3 was on the team, and I always loved the fact that he never made it to the Western Conference Finals, and now he's going to finally correct me if I'm wrong.
He's in the Western Conference Finals. Yeah, already he's in the Western Conference Finals.
Right, but this is the first time, correct?
Correct. That's the first time he's ever gotten out of the second round. You're absolutely right. Never got out of the second round when he was with the Clippers.
I'm so upset.
Are you anti-Chris Paul?
Yes, a little bit.
A little bit. Okay. He played unbelievable in that series. I mean, I think this could be Phoenix swept. I mean, this could very well be their year. Very well be their year. And thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. I'll get back to calls in a second here. Kim Kardashian came out and said she's looking for something in a new spouse. And it's the most interesting thing in the world because I struggle with this. She says she wants a spouse who watches the same shows as she does. Watches the same shows. So doesn't everybody have this problem at home who's got a spouse? Like, Jorge, you and Brenda, do you watch all the same shows?
No. We don't.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
So what's a show that she watches that you don't?
She's watching something called, is it Bad Girls or Working Moms? One of those.
Either Bad Girls or
Bad Girls
Moms.
Is good. Bad Girls is a decent series. Yeah. I like that one.
We saw the first, four episodes? I think first season, maybe. And after that, I checked out. She's like, you want to watch it again? I was like, nah, I'm done.
Yeah. Now, does she go on and watch it?
Yeah, she watches it.
See, I have trouble with that. I mean, like, for example, now, Real Housewives, Juan loves, Ireland loves, I don't watch. But, like, I wouldn't have started Mare of Easttown, the Kate Winslet show, without Juan. I wanted him to be on that show. It just, it seems like it separates you if you're watching different stuff. Hang on a second. Go to Brian in Los Angeles. Brian, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Mace? I just want to say, love the show. You're my favorite radio personality out there.
Very nice. Thank you.
So I love the Lakers, and I hate the Clippers. And one thing I hate even more is watching them win. But I love watching them lose. So my strategy is I'll usually just look at the ESPN app, check the score, and if they're down in the fourth quarter, that's when I'll tune in and I'll just vehemently root against them the whole fourth quarter.
There you go. I like that strategy. I did not watch the whole thing last night either. I watched the end of the game. I was watching the Dodgers
up to there. Mace, I'm here.
Momo, you're back?
Do you realize what I just did? I just drove as fast as humanly possible over to my parents' house.
Wow. Mom and Dad live close, huh?
They live 12 minutes away, but I made it in 8.
You know, I'm so glad you're back because I was going to do something at 2:15.
Yeah.
You know how Ireland and I play that birthday game where we give clues to each other and try to figure out?
Yeah.
So I've got one that John and I did.
Okay.
And we got 20 of them right. I want to try the experiment with you at 3 o'clock.
Let's do it.
To see exactly how many you can get if I start firing off clues to famous people, well-known
people. We definitely cannot do that with a delay. So I'm very glad that my parents' house has working internet because my entire neighborhood just lost theirs.
Yes. Oh, did the entire neighborhood go down?
Yeah. No, we called Spectrum. They go, it's not going to be back on until 4:30. I was like, okay, either Starbucks or my parents' house. So I think it's better. My parents' house, right? Do you think I could broadcast live from the Starbucks? I don't think that's a good idea.
No, not a good idea. Let's go to Alan in San Clemente. Alan, you're on 710 ESPN. What are you doing, man?
Hey, I want to talk about the Dodger Dog situation. Listen, it's not just that they change. It's that the Dodger Dog is sacred. And I'll give you a couple examples.
Okay.
If in Hawaii they went away from spam and they just told you it's ma'am and it's just as good as spam and you can hardly tell the difference, all of Hawaii would be upset. If in Philadelphia they got rid of Cheese Whiz and made it Cheese Biz and said, oh, it's fine. No, it's not fine. Wonder Bread is with African-American barbecue. You don't just go to white bread, and you don't go away from the Dodger Dog. The Dodger Dog is sacred. No new and improved Dodger Dog. It sounds like a corporate price-saving measure. No, this is sacred. Dodger Dogs are sacred.
Excellent. Alan, have you been out to the park yet?
I have, and it's different, and it's not a confirmation bias. It's different, and I don't even care if it's better. It's different, and that's the problem. Now it's just a hot dog. You go to yep. Dodger Stadium, you get a Dodger dog. I don't go there to get a hot dog. I go there to get a Dodger dog.
There you go.
And it's a problem.
Alan, thank you for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. See, Ramona, how do you respond? I get it.
I felt the same way when I heard it, okay? I read the story in the LA Times, and I was like, the Dodger dog, you don't mess with the Dodger dog. And I got all upset, and then I went, you know what, though? Does it real? I mean, I agree. In theory, it is really bad. I actually think they could have handled it a little differently. Like, maybe we should have had some advance notice of what was going on here.
Yeah,
right?
They snuck it in. That's the problem, too. They snuck it in before anybody knew it had changed.
Yeah.
Make an announcement, say, hey, we're changing the Dodger Dog. We're going to this particular hot dog. We hope you like it. Something like that. Here's why.
Usually, it's always better to get out in front of things, because when you don't, people get upset. They feel like they were lying to you, or like, you know, like maybe they could say, oh, well, we're going to lower the price by a quarter. Right?
Because it's not a Dodger dog anymore.
Because it's not Farmer John. You could have had taste tests. You know, I mean, the truth was there was a sort of real life experiment going on, which is that they snuck it in there. Nobody noticed, and then a story came up 2 weeks later, and we went,
"No, people knew. People knew. I knew.
Before the story came out.
I knew it was different.
Okay. Ramona, you make a good point about a missed opportunity. They could have done a whole like taste test rolling it out.
Yes, like they do with other new foods.
Yeah, but they just like slip it under the rug, and instead of saying like this is a bigger, better tasting Dodger dog, they just tried to like sneak it in there and like make sure, hope nobody noticed.
Yeah, it was a sneaky move. It was a sneaky move. And I think the average Dodger fan knows the difference.
I don't know.
If you're being honest, you're not a hot dog connoisseur. You think hot dogs are just nothing. You're not a big hot dog person.
I get a Dodger dog every time I go there.
Right.
And I definitely was upset when I first heard this. But then when I really thought about, am I really upset about this? Did it taste that different? I had it. I didn't notice anything different. Now, maybe when I go back and I know it's different, I'm going to notice more things. But I wasn't looking for it. And it didn't stand out to me right away.
You know? Jumped out at me from the very beginning. I was like, okay, what is this?
How come you weren't tweeting about it then? How come you weren't talking about it before?
I was talking about it before the stories came out. But I was talking about it after I actually went to the ballpark and tasted a Dodger dog.
Mm-hmm. Was it before they wrote about it in the LA Times?
Before,
though?
Yeah. I think
really?
I broke the story. I broke the story.
Yeah.
No, I broke the story. I have a blue check mark. I broke the story about the Dodger dogs being different than they were before. And by the way, we sent a contingent from the station, including Greg Bergman and Lindsay and Carlos Saisu from our marketing team. They all went there, and they all discovered it was different. Bergman is a strong believer.
Nobody discovered it. They only read about it.
No,
then they said,
I discovered
it. Different.
Momo, I discovered it. I said it right away. If you go back and check my timeline, which who cares?
People Mason's, will go do that
Mason's
now. Send
timeline.
Me the receipts.
I was
going to
say, somebody
Send
will
some
dig
receipts.
It up. Yep, yeah, 100%.
If you can produce receipts, I will totally change my tune, mates. I will believe you, but I need to see some receipts.
All right, receipts, Somebody will find the receipts. Somebody will find the receipts. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz has got a bunch of stuff for us. In the meantime, 710 ESPN wants to honor volunteer coaches and youth sports leaders by awarding them an honorary ESPYs award. If you know a youth sports coach or leader who has contributed to their local communities, nominate them today. You can email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Include first name, last name, city, and a short paragraph on why they deserve the honorary ESPYs award. Three finalists will be selected and interviewed on the air the week of June the 21st. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Linz, what do you got for us?
Wait, what did you say, Mace?
At Linzy Baseball. Check it out.
At Linzy Baseball.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to start off with this interesting story here where U.S. Olympic hopeful Shelby Houlihan is speaking out after testing positive for an anabolic steroid, and she's blaming it on a burrito. The middle distance runner, who's the current national champion and holds records for both the 1500 and 5000 meter races, has been banned from the sport for 4 years by the Athletics Integrity Unit. Houlihan took the out of competition drug test back in December, which returned with a result of 5 milliliters of nandrolone.
I got you. Yeah.
She said on Instagram that she consumed a burrito containing pork near her home in Oregon about 10 hours before the test, which she alleges produced the positive steroid result. Are you guys buying her story? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe. I don't believe her.
So you want to swipe left?
Swipe left. I mean, she is an Olympic athlete. And a really successful one, runs the 1500, getting ready for the Olympics, looking to juice up a little bit, tried to get by the rules, and she's blaming it on a taco or a burrito or whatever it is. I mean, I'm sure these things have hormones in them, but I've never heard successfully an argument that says you can eat whatever and that's somehow going to make you give you a positive steroid test. I think this is unfortunate, but there's no question in my mind that she cheated.
Okay. I am actually going to go the other direction.
Get out of here.
Yes. This is a thing because I did this story on Canelo Alvarez a few years ago.
No!
Okay. And he was down in Mexico and he ate beef. And that's a notorious problem in Mexico. Apparently the pork or the beef, or a lot of that, they're fed with steroids. They're fed with hormones that you will test positive for. And he actually went through this whole long process of proving, like, well, here's how much is in the beef, and you can see the degradation rate, and blah blah blah. Now, I'm not saying that the pork in Oregon is equivalent to the beef in Mexico, but I have heard this defense before, and there is some science behind it. So I'm not going to immediately say she's lying. I just want to see this. I want to go and say, okay, let's source the pig. Where did the pig come from? Let's go talk to the farmer who did the let's get some evidence here. You can't just say it. You got to prove it to me.
Well, apparently she like appealed it a couple times.
Uh-huh.
And they said like, sorry, no, we're not hearing your appeal. Mm-hmm. This is part of her ridiculously long statement that she posted on Instagram. She wrote, mm-hmm. I did everything I could to prove my innocence. I passed a polygraph test. I had my hair sampled by one of the world's foremost toxicologists.
Yeah.
WADA agreed that the test proved that there was no buildup of the substance in my body, which there would have been if I were taking it regularly. Nothing moved the lab from their initial snap decision. Instead, they simply concluded that I was a cheater and a steroid was ingested orally, but not regularly. I believe my explanation fits the facts much better because it's true. I also believe it was dismissed without proper due process.
Yeah, so, and you know what? There's something to it. So Better Duran is texting me. He goes, Mexico's soccer team has had that happen to it as well.
Mm.
And it is, this is a real thing. It's like, you know how we're all really conscious about what kind of food we're eating now? Now,
sure.
Canelo basically said the same thing happened to him. He got a penalty for it, and they didn't, it's not that they didn't believe him. It's just too bad.
They can't prove it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're responsible for what's in your body. You test positive, you don't. Like, it's the cold.
But that
medicine
is a fact
thing.
That you are responsible, particularly in Olympic sports, you are responsible for what's in your body. Now,
correct.
She cites a study by the National Library of Medicine that revealed that consumption of pork can cause irregularly high levels of nandrolone. The NLM conducted a study using the urine of three male volunteers who consumed 310 grams of pork, mm-hmm. which could be the meat, liver, heart, kidney. According to the study, the three individuals delivered urine samples before and 24 hours after the meal intake, and they showed mm-hmm. high levels of nandrolone.
So yeah, that just goes thing. To, well, that just goes back to what you just said about, okay, if you're an athlete that's testing for competition, then don't you think that you'd be like extra hyper aware of everything that's going into your body?
Yeah, particularly 5 weeks before the Olympics start.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, you should be. And that was when Canelo did his interview, like I drove down to San Diego and he basically, you know, had a mea culpa, right? Like, yep, I'm aware of this has been a problem for boxers, the soccer team in Mexico. Like he admits that, yeah, I should have been more careful about the meat I was eating. You know, it's like it is kind of your responsibility, but it also speaks to, do you know what's in every single thing that you ate? Do you know what's in every single thing?
No, but we're not training for the Olympics. Yeah, exactly.
I don't have a trainer, some fancy trainer who's out there every day with me at the track. I mean, I'm eating whatever, but I'm not a competitive athlete. Competing at the Olympic level. That's a different category.
Yeah, she probably just went to a store and got a burrito.
No, she went to a restaurant. She went to a food truck and she ordered pork. And I'm just saying, if this is something that's known among athletes who compete and are tested for drugs, why don't you just not eat pork? Don't eat pork. Just stay away from it. Just to be safe, you know?
Yeah, I think every athlete is responsible for what goes into their body, particularly Olympic athletes, when you know the tests are coming. You know the tests are coming. You're going to be tested randomly in advance of the Olympics, and you're going to be tested after any race at the Olympics.
I think you just have to get your own chef. I think it's an indictment of our food industry. They put a lot of stuff in there they shouldn't put in. It's not right.
All right.
They should, just like we were talking about that last week.
Momo is a Shelby Houlihan apologist. All right, Linz, what's next?
Yeah.
Okay, so many people are wondering if Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton secretly tied the knot.
Ooh.
Some fans seem to think that after the lovebirds were spotted out and about in Santa Monica over the weekend. Stefani was photographed rocking a diamond wedding band next to her engagement ring, sparking rumors that she and Shelton have already said, "I do." Stefani did reveal back in April that she and Shelton were planning to keep their nuptials low-key. Would you ever have a secret wedding where only a few people were there? Swipe left or swipe right?
If I had a wedding, I think it would be secret. I don't want to involve the family. I don't want a bunch of gifts. I don't want to throw a party. I don't want any of that stuff. We would just elope. I guess that's the old word, right? Elope. Just get married secretly.
Wow.
That's the way I would roll. Now, you had a big wedding, right?
Yeah, pretty big. I mean, it got bigger and bigger, right? Like, it started off as like, oh, let's have like, you know, 7,500 people. And then all of a sudden my mom just found all these relatives I never knew existed. And then there was all this political stuff. Well, if I invite this person, I got to invite that person. So it ended up being like 125, 130, something like
that's
that.
That's a big wedding.
Pretty big.
Yeah, that's big.
My brother's getting married
we
later today.
We needed extra chairs.
And they're going to have like 300.
People spend, you know, like $100,000 or $150,000 on a wedding, and then it's over, and you wind up with the same damn certificate that you would have gotten if you'd done it on your own.
Yeah.
It just seems like a gigantic waste of money
to have a
wedding.
I think the whole wedding thing, the whole industry, whatever, it's a racket, it's a sham. They just want your money. You're spending all this money for other people to have a party and have a great time that you're most likely going to be super stressed out about.
And here's the thing, and that's not to say that I haven't been to beautiful weddings. I've been to beautiful. I just went to Lindsay Theory's wedding. It was absolutely beautiful. Had a great time. For me, spending that much money on a wedding isn't in my nature. Isn't in my nature.
It always starts that way. Let me just tell you. You always start by saying that, and then it just gets away from you.
This will never get away from me, Mama.
My sister actually did the opposite. My older sister, they planned on having a big wedding, and they started planning it. Mm-hmm. She had to be her bridesmaids and all that. And then one day out of nowhere, she was like, oh, you know what? We changed our mind. We're going to go to Mexico, or we're going to go to Jamaica. If you guys want to come, here's when we're going. If not, that's cool, too. And, like, she didn't give us any time to, like, you know, people have jobs and stuff. I think it was, like, 5 or 6 weeks notice. Like, people have jobs and you know, it's expensive to go to Jamaica. Like, that's something I would have to save up, like, months, if not like half a year for. And it was just that really bummed me out because I was like, okay, she had like a little party when they came back, but
right.
I was disappointed that we weren't able to be there. So I still think that's like a weird, you know, that's like a weird thing to me.
All right, what's next?
All right, so Paris Jackson, the daughter of the late Michael Jackson, recently appeared on Red Table Talk for a frank discussion about living under the media glare. She revealed that she suffers long-term anxiety and trauma from enduring countless camera clicks by paparazzi since she was a child. Jackson said that she experiences auditory hallucinations sometimes with camera clicks and severe paranoia and even panic attacks. The paparazzi and media's treatment of celebrities has been a pretty big topic as of late, ever since the documentary Framing Britney Spears came out, where they really put the media under scrutiny for the way that they treated celebrities, especially women at that time. Do you guys think that 5 to 10 years from now, paparazzi is still going to be a thing? Swipe left or swipe right?
Hell yeah. I don't think paparazzi is going anywhere.
That's a business.
I mean, they are out of control a lot of the time. I'm sure it is a pain in the ass for the people to get followed by, for some of the people that get followed by the paparazzi. There are some people who want that attention. Some people who will actually have their people call ahead to photographers and say, hey, she's going to be here at this time. Some people seek it out. But I don't think paparazzi is ever going away. We live in a TMZ culture, man. Somebody walks up to you with a phone and starts talking to you. That's the way it works on TMZ. It's going nowhere.
Think of it this way. Think of the way that everybody's kind of, you know, trying to be more empathetic, and people are realizing, oh, wow, we treated these celebrities really crappy and we probably shouldn't do that. I feel like you could easily see paparazzi's like, quote unquote, getting canceled for just harassing people, even if they're doing it within their legal right, just for being bad people and people saying, you know what, I'm not going to buy your photos anymore. I don't want to work with you. I don't want to deal with you. And then the other factor.
Show me the publication that's going to say, I don't want to buy your photos.
Okay, well, then the other factor is just regular people. I feel like most pictures these days that are in these tabloids or whatever, it's like TMZ, instead of employing all these photographers that are going to be stalker paparazzi, I feel like a lot of their pictures are just regular people who happen to see so-and-so out, like the one with Justin Bieber and Haley Baldwin at that club.
Yeah.
There was just a regular person in there, or somebody's guest there, that took these pictures and sold them. So I feel like those camera phones and cell phones and all that stuff, I feel like that's kind of putting paparazzi
out of business.
Let me
tell you something. There is something referred to as the oldest profession, right? We know what that is, okay?
We do. This
paparazzi is the second oldest profession. Anybody else watch Bridgerton?
Wait, what's the oldest profession?
Oh, Lindsay, we're going to catch you up.
What's the oldest profession, Lindsay?
I don't know. I really don't.
That's prostitution.
Okay. Yeah, that's the oldest profession. This is never going away. Do you watch Bridgerton? Lady
no,
Whistledown?
No, don't watch Bridgerton, no.
Okay. Like, this is, everybody has always liked gossip. Everybody has always liked gossip and gossip hounds and pictures and juicy stuff and blind quotes and anonymous stuff. This is never going away. If it was ever going to go away, don't you think it would have happened after Princess Di? What happened?
Right.
I mean, if there was ever going to be an outcry and say, get rid of this stupid profession, I'm going to stop buying those Us Weeklies and all the tabloids, it would have happened then. It didn't happen.
You know what? Every one of those magazines is on John Ireland's coffee table. Us Weekly, OK.
Yeah.
Isn't there one called OK with an exclamation mark?
Yep.
I have that one too. Yeah.
He subscribes to all of those.
Add to the list of reasons. Who reads magazines anymore? Like, when you know, one of the first things I would do when I got to the airport, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, is get a magazine for the plane ride. Nobody does that anymore. I don't know the last time I bought a magazine. It's been years since I bought a magazine. So I don't know. I just feel like maybe with people kind of changing their habits and feelings, and then also the fact that maybe regular people will put paparazzi out of business to the point where these paparazzi have to be so aggressive that they're going to actually start like hurting people. And then the fact that no one buys magazines, that's all.
All right. Yeah. Magazines are kind of dead, Momo.
They are. But it just goes on Instagram now.
Yeah. It just goes on Instagram.
I do have one more
TMZ.
Really quick if we have
time. Do it.
Okay. And I want to mention this one because Carlo, our great social media guru, posted this one on Twitter, which I also posted. And put on my Instagram at Lindsay Baseball. Please follow me. So Rihanna's Savage X Fenty line offers undeniably steamy lingerie. And now The line has one specific pair of leggings that's driving the internet crazy. Earlier this week, a TikTok user demanded answers when she shared a video that included a picture of the now widely seen purple Savage X Fenty leggings, which come with a very special cutout located in the backside area. The short clip with the eye-grabbing photo inspired a whole bunch of other TikToks that were dedicated to dissecting the purpose of these leggings, which literally have a big piece missing out of the butt. One TikTok user said in her video, butt cleavage is sexy. Another one said, butt cleavage is amazing. The item description for the leggings says that these are meant for a cozy night in, so they're not necessarily made for working out. But we all know these people that take things too far. If somebody would wear these at the gym, would you have a problem with it?
Swipe left or swipe Momo, right. Have you seen them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
Way too much. Yeah, way too much.
I mean, I'm all about empowerment, right?
Yeah.
That's great. But, I mean, this is just showing your crack.
Yeah.
It's like
it really is.
Half, I mean, depending on how big your butt is, like, it's a good half of your butt crack.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just surprised that this is the thing. Now, she says she's not going to wear these out in public, yet we have a picture of them of her out in public.
Well, no. This is a pair of leggings that she's selling, that Rihanna is selling on her website. And it says in the description that they're meant for a cozy night in. So she's not telling people, hey, this is my workout line. And if you really look, they look like they're kind of like really thin material, not like that thick workout material.
Right.
So these are more like, hey, wear these as like your jammy pants,
your
like Mason
lounge,
wears.
Your lounging around pants?
Yeah, as you say, your jammy pants.
My jammy pants. Exactly. Mm-hmm. My jammy pants, by the way, there's no crack.
So what do you mean there's no crack? Like you can't see it in just regular pants?
I'm not hanging out my crack.
Okay.
Like Rihanna is. And by the way, you know, I heard somebody say it's Rihanna and not Rihanna.
Yeah, that was John, I think, that keeps telling us that.
Yeah. All right, there you have it. There's your Radio Tinder. Yeah, that's a weird story. You can look at that at ESPN Los Angeles or at Lindsay Baseball, that picture. Coming up next for you, I promised this. I was going to do this early. And Momo had some technical problems, so we're going to do it now.
Mercury retrograde.
Oh, God, not that again. So Ireland and I, over the years, have played something called the birthday game. And it's a list of everybody that's celebrating a birthday at this general time. And I give clues, and then John comes up with the answer. We're going to put Momo to the test with 60 seconds on the clock when we come back. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.